Lord. The Lord bless each one and spread the seed of praise, God. We do give everyone a very warm welcome in their service this morning in the name of the Lord. And we want to give our condolences to Brother Gary and Sister Ruth on their loss. You know, I was thinking this morning, I'm sitting there, and you know, a life, a little baby that goes, I believe it goes into the presence of the Lord. And I've always believed that, and I'm still believing it. And we can take comfort from that. And I know it's hard. It's hard, and it's really hard, I suppose, as a pastor. What can you say or do? And the only thing I can do is turn to the Word of God. And I want to encourage your brother Gary, and we want to be praying as well for Sister Ruth this morning and all the family, that God will really comfort them and bless them at this time. I also want to pray for a wee woman called June. She's related to Brother Edris. They found something on her body, and we want to pray for that as well. And we want to thank the Lord with Matthew's wife, Sister Lauren, that there was no cancer. They thought it was cancer, but there was no cancer. And we thank the Lord for that, and we want to pray as well. And there's so many prayer requests, and you know that that's why we need the body change. You know, the Lord can heal us. I preach healing, and you could fall sick again, and the Lord could heal you again. But we're getting out of this pest house that we're in. We're leaving. And God's a far better place for us. Praise God. So I want to talk a little bit this morning about heaven, and then tonight, our brother Larry. I really felt it on my heart to get Larry to preach tonight for some reason. And he normally preaches in the morning, but I took this real notion, and I haven't said to Laurie on Wednesday, and he doesn't answer the phone too well. So I drove the whole way over to see him, to his house. So Brother Laurie's going to be preaching tonight. So, brother, get the wee, Matthew, make sure the wee machine's here to clip on, just charged. For we want to hear our brother tonight, praise God, and he's going to preach for us this evening. And pray for me as well also. I've been given an invitation to Kenya and Uganda next Easter. I've been given an invitation to go, so I want to pray if the Lord wants me to go or not. You know, you say go anywhere you want, but you have to know when you go somewhere God sends you. Because if you get into some problems, if you know the Lord sent you, you're all right. But if you've went in your own self, you could be in big trouble. But every time I've went, I believe the Lord's been with me. And even when things has happened, the Lord's really been with me, you know. There's one of the times I went to Africa, and there's a man, and he actually turned out he was a false prophet. And he's took a lot of people away after him. But he tried to put a curse on me at a convention, and he did it in front of an other minister, and the other minister pulled him aside and everything, and something happened to me, and it took bad, but the Lord touched me. And the Lord healed me of it. And I'm telling you, God done it. And there was a man prophesied to me before I left here. And every single thing he prophesied happened. That there'd be a man posing as a man of God, but he was false. And he said, don't get into any argument with him. And I didn't. And every single thing came to pass, what was said. And the Lord intervened. God intervened. And you know, it was during them meetings that the young woman that was blind received her sight. And there's two witches as well in another service. And I wasn't meant to preach that night, but the fellow was meant to preach decided he wasn't preaching. So the man in charge of all the meetings said, Tommy, would you preach? And I said, sure, preach. And he said, are you ready? I said, I'm always ready. The Bible says, always be ready to give reason for the hope that lay within you. And I preached on the blood of Jesus, and two witches were in the service. And the Holy Spirit called out the pastor, and the witches had put a spell on him, and he broke his leg and everything. And God called it all out and revealed everything right in the service. And the power of God fell on them witches manifested in that meeting, and God delivered them. And those people in that meeting had a wee pack against the pastor, and they were revealed as well. There's a group of them. And they come to the front and repented it and confessed all of it. And the Lord moved. God can do anything, you know. And that's why I believe so much in tongues. You know, when you're out there, God can, you can get in the pulpit and preach in their own language if the Lord anoints you enough. I believe that with all my heart. Praise God. You know, there's an anointing hard to beat. I come on a clip the other day of Reinhard Bonnke. As soon as I played it, it was anointed. The man was anointed of God. Praise God. Let us turn to Revelation 21 and keep in your private prayers our brother Gary and Sister Ruth and the family, and also Sheila as well, that we've been praying for. Pray God will give her more strength, that she'll come back to full strength. Praise God. Let's stand while we read verse 1 to verse 4 of Revelation 21. And I want to talk this morning a little bit about heaven, and I don't want to try and preach. I want to just try to keep calm and read a few scriptures and try and encourage you this morning. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of our God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. And God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. Come up our heads this morning, praise God. If you have a need, lift your hand up to the Lord, praise God. God bless you, God bless you, God bless you. Heavenly Father, Lord, we know you're the great comforter. Father, we humbly come before you through the name that you have set far above every other name, the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, we pray that we'll know the presence, the mighty presence of the Holy Spirit in this service, that we would know you even on our physical bodies, your anointing. Lord, that you'll destroy every yoke and break them in the name of Jesus. Father, I come against every work of the devil, and I bind his works and spoil them in the name of Jesus Christ. I pray for the loosing of the Holy Spirit and a manifestation of your gifts to come on your people. Father, comfort our sister Ruth and brother Gary and the children. Ask for a special blessing upon them, special comfort upon them, in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, I'm asking you for this wee woman, June, Lord, that had received this bad news. Father, I pray that the lump will dissolve and disappear in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, touch her, Lord. Pray for Sister Sheila as well. The power of God will give her more strength. Raise her up, O God, to strength. Complete the work which you've started upon her. In the mighty name of Jesus. Bless Matthew and Sister Lauren. Strengthen Lauren. Grant her grace. Grant her mercy. Bring her into the fullness of the Holy Ghost. In the name of Jesus. Ask for every hand raised in this room, that you'll meet every single need, Lord. In the name of Jesus Christ. Healing. Prosperity. Press down and running over the top. Father, come amongst us. Move upon us and through us. Oh God, visit us, I pray. Lord, we need your mighty attire coming on us, a hunger and a thirsting for righteousness. Lord, deepen our desires for you. Bless us, strengthen us. And I do take the Holy Ghost right now to help me. And I speak against every work of the devil in Jesus' name. And I ask that a standard be raised by the word of God this morning, and strength come from your word upon your people in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Forgive me. Praise God. In the Lord good. Praise the Lord. You know, the dictionary says that heaven is the abode of God. People say, where did God come from? And We know that before he was God, he was the self-existent one. But heaven is the abode of God, and the Bible verifies this definition. In almost every book in the Old Testament, it tells us that heaven is God's abode. And the Bible speaks of God coming down from heaven amongst us. And the Lord Jesus Christ ascended. He descended. And he ascended. He came down from heaven. And he went back up to heaven. And he said that he was with the Father before he was even on earth. And he was going to go back there. And he said, before Moses was, I am. Amen. Hallelujah. Isn't that wonderful? And they said, you're not even 50. How can you be before Moses? But you see, in the beginning, John 1 verse 1 was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. Amen. And the same became flesh and dwelt amongst us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father. Nehemiah 9:13 says this, and I want to read you some scriptures this morning about it. Thou camest down also upon Mount Sinai, and speakest with them from heaven, and gavest them right judgments and true laws, good statutes and commandments. David also recognized the existence of heaven. In Psalms 14 verse 2, the Lord looketh down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand and seek God. You know, there's things happen sometimes you can't explain. Look at Job. Why did God let the things happen to Job? Why did God let the things come upon Job that came upon him? It wasn't because he's a bad man, because the Bible says there's nobody like Job. That Job was perfect in all his ways, and a man was known for what he was. But God let the enemy attack him, but only as far as he would let. And Job held his integrity. And Job said, the Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away, blessed be the name of the Lord. You know, no matter what happens in life, we have to praise God. For the Lord knows what he's doing at the end of it. And we have to praise him. Psalms 102 verse 19. For you have looked down from the height of a sanctuary. From heaven did the Lord behold the earth. The Lord's looking over the earth this morning, and the Lord sees everything. I could do some in secret, and you could do some in secret, and nobody could know about it, but God knows everything. And the Bible says that God will show himself strong on behalf of them that love him, who are the called according to his purpose. Praise God. The Lord's with you this morning. And even if you don't feel the Lord's with you, the Lord's with you. And the Lord says he'll never leave us nor forsake us, though I'm with you always. This is a doctrine that's been taught throughout true Christianity, heaven. And it's a doctrine that we must teach, and we must teach it about heaven. There's a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. I said it before. A lot of the old preachers say, Tom, you need to keep preaching about hell. But I believe we need to preach about heaven as well. And I'm going to show you this morning that Jesus preached a lot about heaven. And if you're saved this morning, you're not on your way to hell. You're on your way to heaven. You don't need to hear about hell. You need to hear about heaven. Hallelujah. And the Lord's prepared heaven specially for you. And he's a room in it for you. Not just a room, but a mansion. Hallelujah. I have a mansion over yonder. Praise God. When we go to the New Testament and see the words of the Lord Jesus himself, you know, he preached the doctrine of heaven. And he verifies all the words of the Old Testament regarding heaven. Jesus verifies them, that they're true and they're real. There is no doctrine more clearly taught by the Lord Jesus than heaven. He teaches it plainly from his word. Matthew 6 verse 19 to 20. Lay not up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, where thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, where neither thieves nor break through to steal. Treasures in heaven. You need to be knowing that you're ready for heaven. You know, you could own a house down here, and something can happen. You could lose that house. Anything can you're never going to lose. Amen. Nobody can ever take it from you. It's like salvation. Once you're really saved, you're always saved. Nothing can ever take it from you. Matthew 6 verse 9. After this manner also pray ye, our Father which art in heaven. The Lord's reigning in heaven. Hallelujah. And he wants to bless you from heaven and from his wonderful sanctuary. Luke 10 verse 20. Notwithstanding, in this rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Your name is written down in heaven. Isn't that wonderful? There's no judge, earthly judge, can wipe out your name. The devil can't wipe out your name. Your name is written in heaven. That's the word of God. And God's word cannot be changed. Praise God. Matthew 5 verse 12 says, rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. You know, many times we feel, mommy, there's no reward here. And when you do things for God or help somebody and you think maybe there's no reward, but there is a reward in heaven. Amen. Praise God. And the Bible says, whatsoever you put your hand forth to do, do it as unto the Lord. Amen. For it is the Lord has a reward for you in heaven. Maybe some man won't give you it down here, but the Lord has a reward for you in heaven. Praise God. For so persecuted they the prophets which went before you. And sometimes you go through persecution and trials. But the Lord's a reward for you, brother and sister, in heaven. Amen. Heaven is mentioned many, many times in the New Testament. It is always spoken of as a place, a definite abode, a definite place. A place for God and the saints of God. Paul the Apostle said, absent from the body, present with the Lord. When we die, we're going to heaven. You know, there's a lot of people talking about limbo land and floating in the air and all these things. We go to be with the Lord in heaven. Praise God. Heaven is a place. Many people don't know the absolute scriptural teaching on it. And you know the Bible is our absolute. Isn't that right? Amen. So the Bible is a book of answers. Amen. Till every question, the Bible has an answer. Praise God. Heaven is a state of mind, some people think. Or perhaps some think it is a state of existence for the righteous. Just, you know, floating somewhere. Jesus himself clearly shows us that it is a definite place. In John 14, verse 2 to 3, in my Father's house are many mansions. And you say, what sort of a house is it? There's no house like it down here. The Lord's house is a massive house, for there's mansions in the house. Hallelujah. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Where? In the house in heaven. The Lord has a house in heaven. And not only has the Lord a house in heaven, but there is mansions in that house prepared for you. Hallelujah. What a place for the Christian to go. Praise God. Jesus has clearly said himself, heaven is a place, a prepared place, prepared for his own, with his own mighty hands. What a place it must be. The Lord's been away 2,000 years preparing a place for us. And he made the earth in 6 days. And he says, I go to prepare a place for you. And it's called heaven. You know, it is a place of absolute beauty. Heaven is a place of beauty. Let me give you a glimpse of it. And I can't go too deep this morning because the time wouldn't let me do it. But Revelation 21 verse 18 to 21. And the building of the wall is of jasper, and the city was pure gold, like unto clear glass. And the foundation of the wall of the city was garnished with all manner of precious stones. The first foundation was jasper. The second, sapphire. The third, chalcedonia. The fourth, emerald. The fifth, sardonyx. The sixth, sardius. Now you might be pronouncing these right. And the seventh, chrysolite. The eighth, beryl. The ninth, topaz. The tenth, and I can't pronounce that one. Can anybody pronounce that tenth one? Crystal process. Praise God. And the 11th, Jacinth, and the 12th. And look at all these names of all these stones. And there's 12 stones because they represent the 12 tribes of Israel. You see, when you go into Numbers in the book of the Bible, any book of the Bible, it's familiar to it. When you read that Jesus fed 7,000, you know he took up 7 baskets. When he fed 5,000 in one place, 7,000 in another. In one place he took up 12 baskets, Israel. And another place he took up 7, the Jews. And one place it says he sat in the ground, another place it says he sat in grass. There's two different lots of people, and it's two different occasions, and the Lord shows it. And one place it speaks of a smaller basket, and one place it speaks of a big basket. And remember that they let a man down through a roof in a basket. So it's a very big basket. Now you think of a basket you can let a man down through a roof in, and they fill 7 of them. Well, what remained from a boy's lunch? That's the mightiness of the God we serve. Amen. Maybe you never thought of it like that, but I thought of it like that. Amen. That's the mighty God we serve. And the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Every several pearl was of one gate of pearl, and street of the city was pure gold, as it was transparent glass. John the Revelator is describing a city he had seen in the best words he can describe it. And you know, I said the other week, isn't it strange? Not strange, but Daniel was told to seal it up, what he saw, but John was told to write it down. Isn't that amazing? Because the things that John saw were to be revealed in the end time. And God said he would take the seals of the book. The 7 seals would be opened at the end time and we would know about them. Now we know the 7 seals are coming of the Lord. And if you study the seals, when you take the 6 seals, Jesus never mentions a 7th. And the Bible then says, no man knoweth the day nor the hour, only the Father. How many knows the Bible says that? So when people tell you they know when the Lord's coming, well, they know more than Jesus said. Well, that lets you know they can't. Now you could say you know the time or the season because the Bible tells you when you see the fig tree putting forth, know ye it's even at the door. That's your time and your season. And that fig tree is Israel. And when Israel become a nation, we know the coming of the Lord is near. And the coming of the Lord's near this morning. And we see Solomon say, I saw a fella, I know you fellas, some of you know him, I think his name's Ryan, but he's a great street preacher. He goes to the Independent Methodist, I think, but he's a real good preacher on the streets. And I saw Mike preaching there recently, and had the flags up everywhere all around him. And Elvis Presley was a hula in the background. Now, if I'd have been with him, I could have guaranteed Elvis wouldn't have been dancing. That's for sure. I'd have took him out of the road. I would have. I would have took him out of the road. Amen. I'm being honest with you. I wouldn't have had it myself. But he was hula in a white suit. You know that old thing Elvis used to wear? Hula. Shaking himself about and flicking his lip out. He was in the background. And your fella preached away. And they're all in the background and he had his jukebox up and they were turning their box up singing Elvis. William Branham said when you spell Elvis' names back to front, it spells evil. It's Presley. And he said, if your child's called that, give him a new name. Don't call him that. And he said, and the name Eric's not a good name either, because Eric can never be convinced of anything. Change that name as well. Some names he didn't like. And he called people, some people, skinned out wieners. And on that video was a lot of skinned out wieners dancing about Belfast naked, wherever they were, with their flags with 6 colours. With the number of man. Man's number 6, God's number 7. For he shall have a number which is 666. But God's number is 7. 7 spirits of God. 7 church ages. 7 seals. 7 vows. 7 trumpets. God's 7. For 7 is perfection. Praise God. But the Lord bless that brother. I don't want to get off lead, but I couldn't believe it. Elvis dancing in the background. One of them had white suits on him. You know, do you know what I'm going to be honest with you? The old people years ago, I can see my grandfather doing it, you know. I can just picture him. Ticking the old boy by the ear. That's the way they used to do it in school. about. That's the way it used to be years ago. You'd have been tucked by the earlobe and set to the side. You say, brother, that's not very reverent. All right, well, you know Willie Mullen. He was preaching on the streets. And there's a fellow who was smart with him, and he said, all that Bible's rubbish. There's not one word in it, I believe it. And Willie Mullen took his fist and hit him in the nose. And he bursted his nose. And the blood came all over your boy's shirt. And Willie Mullen turned over into the book of the Bible. It was in Proverbs. Or the nut hit him. He screwed his nose. He screwed his nose with finger's thumb. The blood came out of it. And he said, the screwing of the nose bringeth forth blood. Do you believe that? He showed him it in the Bible. Amen. I tell you, he believed it after that, didn't he? He screwed his nose to bled. And it bled all over his shirt. We're too soft today. You think because you're a Christian. Billy Sunday. I know the history of Billy Sunday, and I've read all these men. Billy Sunday had a man with him that was in line to be a heavyweight champion of the world boxing. And they said Billy Sunday himself was one tough dude. And them boys used to go into the towns. You ever hear the prohibition, brother? When they didn't want to drink in America, they used to kick the carts and burst the beer open. And the drink open, they burst it up with sledges and butt hammers. And they'd burst it open and they'd get into them. And they had a real good street fight.
Amen.
Whoever brought the beer, and when they got finished giving them a good hiding, they sent them up and preached the gospel to them.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
What about Sheffy? Did you ever hear of Sheffy? The circuit rider preacher. Brother Sheffy. Brother Sheffy used to ride around on a horse and preach. But the man was a man of God. And he went to the town to preach. And he spotted a barn, and the fella agreed to give him the barn, but it needed a bit of cleaning up. And Sheffy got up, and he was cleaning the windows of the old barn. And the local hard man of the town came round. And he said, "Hi, boy, what do you think you're doing?" And he says, "God bless you, sir. I'm going to run a mission here. A revival," he called it. And he said, "You've been running no revival here. And they should go through me." And Sheffy says, "Huddle up a problem. Give me 5 minutes to come down." And he finished cleaning the window and come down and cuffed him. Knocked him out cold with one clip, one punch. And you know who was the first conversion? That fella that was knocked out.
Amen.
He was the first conversion in the revival.
Amen.
Now, I'm not encouraging you fellas to go out and pick nobody up. But I'm just telling you, you know, the way it was in the Bible. Praise God.
Amen.
But you, what I'm saying to you this morning, what I'm trying to make a point is, the homosexuals and the LGBT, or whatever you call it, community, will shove it in your face. And if you turn on it, you're, what do you call that word they use? Homophobic. That's what they'll call you. You're homophobic. And you're not allowed to do a thing. But they can do what they want. I tell you, in heaven, you know the thing about heaven? Here's a serious thing about it this morning. No whoremonger, no adulterer, no effeminate will enter the kingdom of God. They had to be repented. Heaven will be a place of beauty. We see that this morning. Praise God. John the Revelator describing it. I don't believe he could have words to fully describe it. 1 Corinthians 2:9. But as it is written, "I have not seen nor ear heard, neither have it entered into the heart of man the things that God hath prepared to them that love him." It will be a place of joy.
Amen.
Heaven will be a place of joy.
Hallelujah.
We don't always have joy here.
Right.
It's normal sometimes when you don't have joy. You're not on the mountain every day of the week. You'll have trials and tribulations, but the Lord's always with you.
Amen.
But you'll have joy in heaven and it'll never end.
Amen.
Revelation 21 verse 4, "And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away." God will give you joy.
Amen.
Tears, death, sorrow, pain, they come upon this human body because of one man's sin, Adam's sin. 1 Corinthians 15:22. "For as in Adam all die, but in Christ shall all be made alive."
Amen.
Every one of us is guilty because we're born in sin, shaped in iniquity. But the Lord Jesus Christ came the whole way from heaven.
Amen.
To save us. The Bible says he condescended. He lowered himself a little lower than the angels. loves you and he wants to save you. But God through the ages has been executing his plan, complete redemption of the whole human race, because he wants to take us to heaven. You know, it's commenced. And all the saints of God, you know, there'll be a commencement when we get to heaven. And when we get to heaven, you know, there'll be no more sorrow, no more pain when we get to heaven. The life for the real believing Christian, the beginning of days, you could call it. The Bible talks about the beginning of days, not other things. But really in heaven, there's no night or day. How many knows the lamp's the light thereof?
Amen.
Praise God. Because of the options of things that make us sad, they'll not be there. A lot of things that make us sad here will not be permitted in heaven. They'll not be there. You know, we'll have no frailments in our body in heaven.
Amen.
We'll be perfect. I'll have a head of hair, I'm sure, back when I get to heaven. Praise God. Whatever ailments you have, you'll be perfect in heaven. There'll be no conditions like that. Revelation 21, 26. And they shall bring the glory and honor of all the nations into it. Everlasting joy. And I'm going to finish in a moment. We're going to do communion. Everlasting joy in heaven. That's what we'll have. You know, the wee song says, there's mourning for the night, but joy cometh in the morning. There's times of sorrow. The Bible says there's a time to weep, time to cry, and a time to laugh. There's seasons for everything. But in heaven, there's going to be everlasting joy.
Amen.
Isaiah 35, verse 10. And the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion. We sing this with songs, and everlasting joy shall be upon their heads. And they shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. You know, you ever went through a time and you never thought you'd have joy again? You went through a hard time and you think you'll never have joy again, but then down the road you have the joy again the Lord gives you. Hallelujah. Isn't the Lord wonderful? In this life we're born crying. We're born. We come into this world crying. A baby comes into this world crying. And many times a man or a woman goes out sighing and crying when they're dying. That's the truth. Some people die, as they say, well. But what is dying well? Dying well is a man or woman that's saved. Because they're not really dying. They're just throwing off the old coat. And they're going to be with the Lord. There's a little of the permanent joy in this life. You know, it's only for a while. It doesn't last. But joy and gladness will be eternal in heaven. No moment of discouragement or depression, but righteous bliss throughout the endless ages of all eternity. All eternity full of joy. You know, how many knows when I'm telling the truth this morning? You can have a wonderful service, especially if you're a preacher. You could do a meeting, you know, God's helped you. God's touched people. But I'll guarantee you when you get home and the next day you don't know what's going to happen. The devil will do all he can to take your joy away. You know, I used to have a system. Now, I'm telling you young fellas this for a reason. Now, I know some of us maybe have to go on a Monday and work, but Monday used to be a day for me when I'd close myself in again, straight away. I used to have a system like that that worked. Because a fella said to me, if you have a good service on a Monday, stay in bed on a Sunday, stay in bed on a Monday. But I took from it, on a Monday, seek the Lord more. Get topped up quick. And I tell you, that's my advice to anybody, especially a preacher. If you're preaching a Sunday, don't lay half on a Monday. Hit it again. Seek the Lord again. Seek Him more. And I'll tell you, I'm on your toes by Tuesday, and you'll be skipping by Wednesday. Amen. God can do it.
Amen.
And the Lord wants us to seek Him. Everlasting light. Praise God. Everlasting light. Isaiah 60, verse 20. Thy sun shall no more go down, neither shall thy moon withdraw itself. The Lord shall be thine everlasting light, and the days of thy mourning shall be ended. Hallelujah. The Lord will be thy everlasting light. Revelation 21, 23. And the city hath no need of the sun, neither of the moon, to shine in it. For the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof.
Amen.
Hallelujah. How many knows that? The sun gives the light and life to everything. Without light, there could be no light. Christ, the light of the world, is the source of all spiritual life. Jesus Christ says, I'm come a light into the world. Hallelujah. Johnny, verse 12. Then speak Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Praise God. Isn't that wonderful? Does not bless you that he's the light of life? Christ, who is the source of all spiritual life, will be our light throughout eternity. No more shadows. Paul talks about us looking through a glass where we see in part, we prophesy in part. Now, I know a lot of people say, well, we're perfect right now in the sense that we know it all. I'm going to just say this. If you know it all, I feel sorry for you. I'm coming 54 and I don't know it all yet. And when I go and seek God and preach in anything, I'm learning. And I'm telling you myself, I don't know very much at all, but the man I'm serving knows everything. He's called the Lord. Now, where I would fall down on, he knows more than me. Now, God can give you wisdom. God can do that. And he gives it, for the Holy Spirit teaches us all things. But there's people saying they're revelatoried and revelated. And they know everything. And they cannot be deceived. Well, I'll tell you, we need the Lord every day. We need to keep ourselves humble. The Bible says, let him that standeth take heed lest he fall. Is that right? We need to be humble before God. No dark valleys will be in heaven because of the Lord's light. Loneliness in the night won't be in heaven because of the Lamb's the light thereof. Praise God. We will have the presence of the Son of Righteousness throughout all eternity. Malachi speaks of the Son of Righteousness arising with healing in his wings. Amen. Praise God. I'm almost finished. Everlasting salvation. I think our brother John preached on this once from Revelations. It blessed me. The everlasting gospel. Man said, why would you keep preaching the gospel? Because it's an everlasting gospel. Isaiah 45 verse 17. But Israel shall be saved in the Lord with an everlasting salvation. Aren't you glad for them words? It's not a weak, but everlasting. Ye shall not be ashamed, nor confounded, world without end. John 10 verse 28. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life, through Jesus Christ the Lord. I tell you, it's the Lord saved you. Jesus says, I give you eternal life. Nobody can pluck you from the Lord's hand. Oh, but there's a pastor over the hill, he believes you can be saved and lost. Well, he might be lost and he might preach that, but I don't. Because the Bible doesn't. You're saved. Amen. Now, you could have lost the joy. All of us have lost the joy at times. But the Lord can give you the joy back. Do you ever get a hurt? Do you ever anything happen to you and you think you'll never get the joy back? You go through a time of weeping, but then there's a time comes joy. See, there's seasons. There's seasons. Now I'm going to prophesy over you this morning. Is that all right?
Amen.
Will you take it?
Amen.
The Lord is bringing you into the new season in the name of the Lord. Let's come and bow our heads this morning. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the word of God. We bless you that your word is yea and amen in Christ Jesus. And Lord, we thank you, you're coming again. You have a place specially prepared for your people. Father, I ask you in the name of Jesus Christ, as we partake of this bread and this wine this morning, bless the bread and bless the wine. We remember you, your precious blood, your broken body. You were wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement of our peace was upon you, and by your stripes, your wounds, we are healed. We receive your salvation, and we receive your healing. The same way we get saved through faith, we are healed through the same faith in the name of Jesus. Change people's seasons, Lord. Bring them into the season of blessing. Bring them into the season of joy and plenty. Even at a time where there seems to be not plenty. I'm asking you, the tables will be full. And there'll be a season of plenty and a season of blessing. Father, for everyone we've named in prayer this morning already, we ask you again to be with every one of them. In the name of Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. Amen. I'm going to read this scripture, then we're going to have communion. Praise God. And if you're saved and serving the Lord, have communion. You know, we're going to have a baptismal service too sometime soon. Anybody that's never been baptized, a true Christian baptizing in the name of Jesus Christ, we need to get you baptized. Praise God, and get you on with the things of God. Praise God. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 23 to 34. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup, and when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament, my blood. This do ye as often as ye drink it, and remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily, shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly amongst you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned of the world. Wherefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, tarry one for another. And if any man hunger, let him eat at home, that ye come not together unto condemnation. And the rest will I set in order when I come. I'm going to ask the deacons to come. And don't forget this evening, Brother Larry's going to be preaching tonight. 6 o'clock, come. And support a brother this evening. Praise God.